This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And now, on WEEI.com, it's Talkin' Hoops with Paul Flannery. Everything you wanted to know about the Boston Celtics and the sport of round ball in general, all in one place. Talkin' Hoops with Paul Flannery on WEEI.com.
Welcome back to the Talkin' Hoops podcast. Joining me, a good friend of the show, Jeff Goodman. Fabulous college basketball writer for CBSSports.com. Man about town. No one knows more about these kids, these prospects, than Jeff Goodman. Jeff, how are you today?
All is well, Paul. All is well. NBA playoffs winding down here, and now we can talk about the draft for a few days at least.
I love it. Isn't it funny? There's when the NFL, you get like 3 months to talk about the draft. With this, you get like a week.
If you're lucky. I think you might get, I was looking at it. If the NBA Finals, if it went or goes seven games, you get like a day.
You get a day. No, I remember that 2010. It was like, right. Oh, there's a draft tomorrow?
Exactly.
Who are these kids? Which is a great segue into the – Jeff, who are these kids? Now, I'm looking at this draft, and Anthony Davis, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time talking about him. I think he's going to be a fantastic NBA player. But you have the number two pick. You are running the Charlotte Bobcats. Who do you take with that second pick?
I'm taking Bradley Beal. I don't think they're going to take Bradley Beal, but he's to me, the most well-rounded player and also has a really high ceiling. He's kind of, everybody wants to compare him to Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. He's not quite Ray Allen, but, and everybody wants to hammer him because he only shot 35%, 34% from three his freshman year, his only year at Florida. But he is a terrific perimeter shooter who can do a lot of other things better than Ray Allen. He rebounds the ball extremely well.
He really does.
He defends much better than Ray. Again, he's not the shooter of Ray, but who is? It's unfair to put that comparison on the kid. But he's got good length. He's a high character kid, a great teammate. Mm-hmm. Eric Murphy, a kid who's from around here who plays at Florida, and I think will be a draft pick a year from now, raves about him, and the whole team does. Billy Donovan, everybody. As a kid, I just think. To me, they need that more, the Bobcats. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, again, I think they're going to go with Thomas Robinson here, and I don't think you can go wrong. I think picks 2 to 6 are kind of a crapshoot in terms of, what you prefer. Every kid's a little different, from Thomas Robinson to Bradley Beal to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist to Andre Drummond to Harrison Barnes. Those are five kids that are probably they're all going to go from 2 to 6 in some order, and they're all very different.
I love Bradley Beal. I love that call. And I don't watch nearly as much college basketball as you do, but I like a lot of things about him. I love that he can rebound. I love that he's got great shot mechanics. You kind of think, I always feel that, especially with freshmen, the numbers can be a little bit skewed. If they've got the mechanics, the shot is gonna work at the next level.
Played, Paul, with two of the most selfish guards I've ever seen in terms of Irving Walker and Kenny Boynton.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a lot of that on them, too, as far as not understanding, well, Bradley Beal is our best player, our best shooter. Maybe we need to get him more looks than, you know, the 20 shots we take each game.
Right.
So, I don't want to make excuses for the kid, but, yeah, I think to some degree he didn't want to step on toes of Irving Walker and Kenny Boynton, and it hurt him.
Right. Now, the most intriguing player to me after Anthony Davis and his whole draft is Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah.
Because I watched him play. I mean, every NBA person who watched Kentucky play, which is kind of like a quasi-NBA team anyway, loved this kid. Loved the way he played. Loved the way he competed, defended, all that kind of stuff. Now, clearly, he's not a finished product offensively. And I guess the question is, how good can he be offensively? But to me, he can walk in at age 18, 19 and play NBA defense. Is that too much?
No, I think he's Ron Artest without all the BS around Ron Artest. He's the clean-cut version of Ron Artest. Not a great offensive player, not a good shooter. I think he's going to have trouble scoring in the half court, which is why I think he could slip a few spots, because I don't think he's the right fit for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at what Washington just did, getting Ariza, getting Okafor. If you put Gilchrist on there, too, I just don't think you have enough skill guys.
Right.
Where if you add a guy like Bradley Beal, if he falls to three, or even Harrison Barnes, that's kind of what they need in Washington. They need somebody. John Wall's not a shooter. We know that. So they need somebody that's going to be able to keep him honest from the perimeter. And I just think Beal does that and a whole lot more. But getting back to Kidd-Gilchrist, high character, high motor. Again, I would probably compare him to Artest because he can defend multiple positions. He brings toughness to the table. He'll help any organization he goes to immediately. From the defensive end, I just don't know how much he'll give you offensively, except in transition.
Right. No, I think that's probably right. And I love the fact that Beal could either be with John Wall or Kyrie Irving. What a fun young backcourt.
It's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But Andre Drummond, biggest enigma in the draft.
Boy.
Help me out, Jeff.
I wish I could. Listen, I used to run a top 75 camp here in New England until I was unable to run it anymore because a certain college coach said it was a conflict of interest. I had to give it up. And that head coach is now resides in Lexington, Kentucky.
Really?
Anyway, getting on to other things. I saw Andre Drummond for the first time before anybody after, I believe it might have been in between his freshman and sophomore year. He has not really gotten any better since then.
That's not good.
He had a similar body. I remember leaving the gym and calling Dave Tellup, who I used to work with, now the ESPN recruiting, national recruiting guru, and I called him. I said, I just saw the number one player in the class of, it was 2013 at that time, and I think he reclassified, or maybe it was 12 and he went 11, whatever it was. But Andre Drummond, too nice a kid. You know, he's got that Dwight Howard-esque body, broad shoulders, good skill level, can really pass the ball. People don't understand that. You know, people are trying to make excuses for the fact that he didn't have Jim Calhoun for most of last year and the chemistry was terrible. And, you know, you had he and Jeremy Lamb and, you know, Shabazz Napier wasn't a good leader. I just, man, I'd have trouble drafting Andre Drummond in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
I just would. I mean, I know the potential's there. And I don't think he's going to be Kwame Brown. I don't. I think he's going to be better than Kwame Brown, but I don't think he's going to be a top 10 NBA center.
Mm-hmm.
Either. I think he's going to be somewhere in between that he'll play really well some nights and then he won't show up the next. I think confidence is going to be a major issue with him over the course of his career, and I just don't know if he's got that absolute love for the game.
I think he's going to break your heart, you know?
Yeah, I think he could. And he's a great kid, not a good kid, phenomenal kid.
That helps. And, it seems to me, just a random observation, it seems to me, in terms of the players in this draft, there are very few. There are questions about motor, questions about desire, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of, wow, watch out for this kid, he's a bad kid.
I'm looking down the list now of, like, you know, top kids on there, and, you know, Deion Waiters has a few question marks with him just because he's tough, and, you know, comes from Philly, but... Yeah,
that's a point in his favor, Jeff, that he comes from Philly.
Terrence Jones might be one that you question a little bit, his character. Arnett Moultrie was a kid that Tim Floyd didn't want when he got the job at UTEP.
Mm-hmm.
So, you obviously know Tim Floyd, and you know he's a guy who will take just about anybody, second-chance kids. And he didn't take Moultrie, and Moultrie ended up going to Mississippi State. So that's another one. But for the most part, I think you're right. I mean, even Royce White. People question, you know, he's just a different dude. But you talk to Royce Whitehall, you will fall in love with that kid. And that's what NBA teams are finding out right now, is that he's really a charismatic, engaging kid who's got some issues, but he's not afraid to say what those issues are, which, you know, he's a couple steps ahead of probably you and I.
Yeah, no, I think that's the Royce White's a really interesting kid, and which leads me now to where the Celtics are going to be picking down that 21-22 range, because I got four names for you, Jeff.
Okay.
Andrew Nicholson from St. Bonaventure.
Yep.
Fab Mello.
Yep.
Mo Harkless.
Yep.
And Royce White.
Yeah, I think they're all probably going to be on the table.
Okay.
I think they could all be on the table. I mean, listen, one of them will probably be off, but you say, all right, so Nicholson, Mello, Royce White, and Harkless.
Right.
The most likely one to be off the table, I think, at that point is Harkless.
Right.
I think they take a guy like Mello. I think if Fab Mello is there, I think they take him. And you know why? He's better than what they have at the center spot.
Right.
Maybe not today. He's still got a little ways to go, but he plays hard. He's a guy that can obviously defensively give you a presence. He can block shots. He can rebound. He got a lot better. I saw him. I remember seeing him like 4 years ago when he first got over here at an AU tournament. And I saw him like three times. People were raving about him. Came over from, I think he's from Brazil.
Right.
And, you know, played so hard two of the games. And then one of the games he just didn't play hard at all. And I think that's him. But generally, he plays hard on most nights and most plays. And, again, a very nice kid. Got into some trouble this year. But, honestly, it was just academics because, you know, the language is hard for him to pick up. And but, again, a nice kid, plays hard, athletic, legit. You know, I don't know what he measured at. He's got to be close to 7 feet.
Right. And he would have a great tutor if Garnett comes back.
Yeah, I mean, anybody would.
Right.
I mean, that's the one thing you say is, like, who was I thinking about? I was thinking about somebody playing with KG and how much it would help.
Yeah.
You know, like even a kid like Arnett Moultrie, whoever. But you're right. You're going to get 1 or 2 years, hopefully, with KG if they re-sign him. And you get the right guy, and I think he can bring him along. And well, you know who I was thinking? Like, what if an Andre Drummond ever got a shot to play with KG?
Right.
Like, think of how much better. Now, if Andre Drummond goes to the wrong spot, you know, and he's in Memphis with Zach Randolph, forget about it. Career over. He never has a chance. But I think if you put a good young player that we question maybe their motor with KG, I think KG certainly can aid in that effort.
Right. Well, he either will aid it or he'll get the guy out of the league in like a half second.
I know.
Because you're either going to listen or you're going to be gone. And,
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson rave about KG this year.
Absolutely.
I think he's mellowed a little bit with the young guys.
I think he has, too. And I think he really liked, I know he liked, he loved Steemsma. Loved him.
Really?
Yeah. And he loved Ryan Hollins for some reason. And
I love him if you put them together.
Yeah, sure. But he talked all year long about how the young kid, good group of young kids. He kept saying, good group of young kids. They listen. They pay attention. So
that,
I think
that means they never stood up to him. That's
right,
what that means.
Right. But I think there's an interesting group of bigs that could be here. Tell me about Andrew Nicholson a little bit. I'm intrigued by Andrew Nicholson.
Really skilled. Probably the most skilled player in this entire draft. You know, comes from Canada, played at St. Bonnie's, four-year kid. Not overly strong and big and physical, but he blew me away. I'd never seen him in person, believe it or not, up until the Chicago Combine a couple weeks ago. And that's the best setting for Andrew Nicholson. And every NBA team was there. And he shot it better than anybody probably there, including Damian Lillard, who's, you know, terrific. Scoring point guard from Weber State, who will probably be the number one point guard in the draft. You know, Nicholson, a little bit frail. I don't know how much he'll give you right away. And he's not a great athlete, but he's kind of a deceptive athlete because he runs a little bit awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But he's long. He can score in the post. He's got good post moves. He can step out and really, really shoot it from mid all the way to the three-point line. So he's a tough matchup on that end. I guess I worry about him guarding at the next level. But you know what? Right now, the Celtics need somebody that's going to score the basketball.
Sure.
As much as just about anything. So if you ever threw like a Nicholson and a Fab Mello into the equation, maybe in a couple of years, you know, they're both good, solid, at least rotation guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think Nicholson's going to take a couple of years physically for him to be able to handle you know, going up against some of these big, strong men in the NBA.
Right. Now, we touched on Royce Way a little bit, so just so people understand what we're talking about with him. Tell us a little bit about him and the in quotes issues that he has. He has some anxiety, an anxiety disorder, if I'm not mistaken.
He does. You know, he didn't make it. He committed to Minnesota out of high school. Never played a game there for Tubby Smith. Had a role in, a stolen laptop, and has a fear of flying. And he said, he's like, I don't sleep well at night. He's on medication, obviously, for anxiety and everything like that. But I think his biggest problem was he hung out with his boys too much back home in Minneapolis. And I think he's kind of not cut the cord, but certainly become a little bit smarter in the fact that, hey, listen, I got to do my own thing here. Mm-hmm. He's come clean with all these NBA teams and admitted he's made the mistakes, but, you know, 6'8", 270, Paul.
Right.
And he's a point forward.
He's skilled, yeah.
That's what he is. He passes it well. He can handle it well. He's built like a truck. He's more athletic than you think by looking at him and his body. Now, the only thing I would say, like, with the Celtics is you got to be able to utilize him well, and that means running stuff through Royce White. So I'm not sure the Celtics could do that with him now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a little bit, you know, obviously they do that with KG. You know, so
sure.
Could he be a second-unit guy that could come in off the bench and really help facilitate and make life better for some of those other guys on the second unit, whoever that may be down the road? You know, could you pair him with a Jeff Green if they re-sign Jeff Green? And you know, I don't know who they're going to have in the second unit.
good question.
Yeah,
that's a really good question.
They need a shooter. I mean, that's the thing. We haven't talked needs yet, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They need a wing who can shoot the ball.
Right.
The guy I want them to get, if he's there, and I'm not sure it's going to happen, is Terrence Ross.
Oh, I like that.
That's the guy I think, like, if they could ever get Terrence Ross and Fab Melo,
mm-hmm.
those are the two that I would, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'd be ecstatic with. Ross comes from Washington, played 2 years out there, and, you know, 6'6", long, athletic, can shoot it. You know, I just think he'd be the perfect guy to come in and replace Ray Allen.
Right. No, so this leads me to a different question. Who is worth moving up for? Because I'm not sure Terrence Ross would be there at 21. A lot of things would have to happen.
Yeah, but somebody's got to slip.
Okay.
The only thing I'll tell you is, like, you know, I can read you 20 names. I'm like, all right, we know right off the bat, I know we don't want to bore too many people with this, but you know Anthony Davis, Thomas Robinson, Gilchrist, Beal, Barnes, Drummond. You know, Sullinger should be off the board with the recent issues mm-hmm. involving his back. If he ever went down to that range, the mm-hmm. Celtics should grab him in a heartbeat, but he'll be gone. Jeremy Lamb will be gone. You know, Lillard will
Damian
be gone.
Lillard, right.
You know, Henson will be gone. That's 10. Deion Waiters will be gone. That's 11. Tyler Zeller's 12. Austin Rivers will be gone. That's 13. Right there, that's 13. Okay, so out of that next group, you've got, you know, Kendall Marshall,
mm-hmm.
Perry Jones, Terrence Jones, Myers Leonard should be gone, Moultrie,
right.
Harkless. That's six more. So we've just gotten to 19. We haven't mentioned Terrence Ross.
Right.
So he could. That's all I'm saying. It's like, you could have a guy there, and I think you will have a guy there that you did not expect to be there out of that group I just mentioned, whether it's, you know, a Terrence Jones, a Perry Jones, a Moultrie, a Terrence Ross, and you know, all those guys I think could help.
Yeah, no, I think they could. I'd love to spend like a half hour talking about each one of these guys, but I'll just hit on a couple that are yep. that are pretty intriguing here. Perry Jones. I hear you laughing.
It's like Andre Drummond. I just replay what I said about Andre Drummond?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, very similar, very, you know, different positions. You know, Perry Jones played 2 years at Baylor. Very, very nice kid, just like Andre Drummond. Long, looks the part. You know, the difference is obviously Drummond, if you hit it with him, he's a five.
Right.
If you hit it with Perry Jones, you know, he's kind of like, kind of compare him a little bit. He's more skilled, but like Brandon Wright that came out mm-hmm. of North Carolina. And, mm-hmm. and he's starting to play better, I guess, in the league. I haven't followed him that closely, but, you know, he's been better this year than he had been. But, again, people question Perry Jones' toughness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he even said to me at the combine, I said, what was kind of the craziest or the best question you got from an NBA team? And one of the teams asked him, they said, why don't you play as hard as Quincy Acey, his teammate from right. Baylor, who plays hard all the time? And he looked at me and he goes, I couldn't really answer it. And like, that's oh, him. Like, he just says what's on his mind. Yeah. And again, could get eaten up in the NBA lifestyle.
Right.
But like KG, as you said, if you got Perry Jones, KG would either bring him along and yeah. toughen him up, or Perry Jones would be
make
Big Baby look as tough as his nails.
Oh, God. I can't live through another Big Baby.
Yeah, Perry could be a crier.
Oh, man. All right, let's talk about Austin Rivers, because a lot of Celtics fans are fascinated by the notion of Austin Rivers. I don't think there is any way in hell Austin Rivers plays for the Celtics.
The best thing would be if he's on the board, if they would take him or not. Like, I would die to see him available. He's not going to be
right
at 21. Just to see what they did, because I don't know if Ainge and Doc have ever had that talk, mm-hmm. really had it. Like, I think they've kind of BS'd about it a little bit. Like, you know, could you coach him? Could you know? I don't think they'd take him. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't believe Doc wants to coach Austin.
Right.
You know, it would be too hard. Austin's a great kid, but he's got a lot more swagger than his dad ever had.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, Austin going into the league has more swagger than Doc had after, you know, 10 years in the league. And that's a good thing. I think that's going to serve Austin really well. Again, my biggest questions with Austin are always going to be how he blends in and accepts a role in the NBA. At Duke, he was able to be the guy. Is he going to be able to do that? You know, he's a two guard.
Right.
Don't let anybody tell you he's a point. He's a two guard. He scores the ball extremely well. He's got a great first step. He's not like a unbelievable athlete, but he knows how to play. He knows how to get to the basket and finish. Streaky shooter. Can be a good defender if he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a killer.
Right.
He's a killer. I mean, he wants the ball with the game on the line, and he thinks he's better than everybody else in the court, which is, again, I think that'll serve him well at the next level. I think he'll be like Monte Ellis. And I don't know if he'll put up those type of numbers.
Right.
But I think that's the type of player he's going to be.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, like, there are two things here with this. One is that when you have a team with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Rajon Rondo, you don't want the coach to be coaching his own son. Because there's a distinct,
Just imagine Rondo.
Oh.
Dealing with Rondo and his... Yeah. I don't even know how to say it, but I guess like his mentality, mental approach, and how he would deal with Doc coaching Austin Rivers.
He would probably try to take him apart every day in practice.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good thing.
No. But then is the basketball thing, which is, especially if you keep Rondo, the ball starts with Rondo, it ends with Rondo until he makes a pass. Austin Rivers is a player that needs the ball in his hands, at least
at
this point. And so they need guys who can play off the ball, like you mentioned Terrence Ross. I love that call. Guy like, you know, Nicholson or whoever. Those guys that can play off the ball. Off and work off of Rondo.
Moultrie's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
Moultrie's a good name if he falls, because here's why. I think he's one of the top three rebounders in this draft.
Mm.
I'm not sure if Ainge loves him, but I do, from a simple standpoint that, you know, obviously Boston needs rebounding desperately.
Right.
You know, a guy that can really go after it, rebound in and out of the his area. Moultrie's that guy. He's 6'11", you know, 250-ish, 240, 250. Again, the big question mark for him comes from character and what happened at UTEP, why Tim Floyd wouldn't want him. But you know what? Other than the last year, it's not like Danny Ainge has, you know, prioritized drafting character.
No. True.
You know? And I think, to be honest, from last year and getting Juwan Johnson, Etuan Moore, and I think there's certainly been some level of disappointment on Juwan Johnson so far,
mm-hmm.
and maybe his lack of toughness, I could see Ainge going back to the old philosophy of you know, hey, listen, I'm taking the best talent available. I don't care if Royce White, you know, has all these red flags, or Moultrie or whoever. I'm just going to get the best, the guy that I think is going to have a chance to impact the most.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting call. Jeff, I'll get you out here on this. Anthony Davis, we'll bring it back to the top. How good is this kid going to be? I think he is going to be, you know, barring injury and all that, I think he is going to be sensational.
Yeah, one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best in this league. I'd be surprised if Anthony Davis were not talking about a guy that's in the All-Star game every single year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not the first or second year. But once he gets there that first time, I think he'll be a fixture in the All-Star game. I think we could be talking about – he doesn't have the offensive game of Kevin Durant, obviously, but he's such a great shot blocker, defensive player. And he's got a much better offensive game than people give him credit for right now.
I mean, he's skilled.
I saw it a couple of years ago on the AU circuit when he was allowed to do anything. I mean, he can break guys down off the dribble, but he was almost – and this is what made Kentucky so successful, and this is why people love these two guys, Anthony Davis and Micah Kidd-Gilchrist, because they really did. They put their teammates ahead of them. They didn't try to play for the NBA and you know, the stock or anything like that. They just they played their role. And,
yeah.
and Anthony Davis could have taken a whole lot more shots early on in the season. All he did was honestly run the court and dunk and finish inside. And then towards the end, the last 10 games in the NCAA tournament, he started to step out, and Calipari used to – I think he gave him the green light and told him, hey, listen, we need you to make some of these shots. And he can, and he did.
No, I don't even think the comparisons to Garnett are that out of line.
They're not. They're really not. Again, I mean, Davis isn't quite as emotional, isn't mm-hmm. quite as fiery. He's a better shot blocker. He's not quite as skilled on the offensive end. And the other thing is he doesn't take all turnaround jumpers.
Right. Well, he's also not as crazy probably as Kevin. But
he's
you know.
Not. No. Anthony Davis is a really mellow. Really mellow kid, but their games aren't that far off. I mean, you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. He's got a blend of a lot of, you know, he's got some Marcus Camby in him from the shot blocking end. He's got some KG in him. I'm trying to think. He's got some Chris Bosh in him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of different players, but he's fairly unique.
Right. Jeff, thanks so much. This has been great. And, we'll definitely catch up again soon. Jeff Goodman, CBSSports.com. Follow him. What's the Twitter, Jeff?
It is Goodman CBS.
Absolute must follow. Jeff, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks, Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.